With some dangers of backsliding and where it leads, here's Pastor Jeff Johnson.
See, materialistically, they went downhill. They fell. That's what always happens. There's a degradation. There's a horrible thing that takes place that, you know, having come to know the Lord, you got enough of Jesus to be miserable, but not enough to be joyful, and you begin to just get back into the world, and it's a horrible, ugly scene. You do things like you never thought you'd do, and it's a horrible thing. And the enemy's right on you, wanting to destroy you.
Your spirit leads me. Running after you, I'll leave behind the worthless love, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
It's been said that sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you plan to stay, cost you more than you ever expected to pay. So don't be taken in by it. Or perhaps you have. Well, there is a remedy. And we'll hear about it here today on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff Johnson, found in the Old Testament book of Joshua. Here now to tell us about it, Pastor Jeff, beginning with a very probing question here today on Sound Doctrine.
Did God let you down somewhere to where you have this attitude, to where you just kind of, you can live with it or live without it. You know, it's not a big deal anymore. You're not so excited anymore. So you're following afar off. You're not as involved as you used to be. You're just kind of have fire insurance, and you're just kind of tooling through and hoping everything works out your way. Or you're becoming what the Bible talks about, lukewarm. And Jesus said, but I don't like lukewarm. I want you to be hot, or I want you to be cold, like a good cold iced tea. But when you give me lukewarm milk, you know, I spit it out. And Jesus says, I don't like lukewarm. You got to choose. Matthew 25 talks about five wise virgins and five foolish virgins. The five that had no oil, their lamps were not trimmed. They asked if they could get oil from their friends that had oil and everything. No, you can't depend on them. You cannot go to heaven on, you know, your parents' coattail, so to speak. You can't do it on anybody. You can't, boyfriend, girlfriend, you know. Well, my boyfriend's so strong in the Lord, I'm just going to heaven because of he's walking close to the Lord. What about you? I don't know. I'm dependent on him. No, you can't do that. Their lamps weren't trimmed. And the bridegroom came, and they weren't ready, and they didn't go into the marriage supper. Can you imagine what went through their minds as the door was shut, and they could not go in? What a day of reckoning. What a day of awakening. They didn't seek for God's perfect will. They settled for what they wanted. There's a danger in settling for what you want. The question should be, what does God want out of my life? What does he want me to do? Now that he saved me, now that he gave his son to die for me and bleed on that tree and take the beating for me, what does he want me to do? That's the least I can do is, Lord, I'm here to serve you. You saved me. You changed my life. The east side of Jordan, grassy land, no enemy, less hassle. They chose their level of life, and they became secure, and they became worldly. You say, what are you talking about? Over in Deuteronomy chapter 32, in verse 5, wherefore said they, if we have found grace in your sight, let this land be given to thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. Boy, can you imagine even saying that? We don't want to go in. We don't want to go into the promises of God. We want this. This is what we want. So give it to us, please. We will not live in the land. We will not inherit his promises. That's really what they're saying. They totally disobeyed his word, and they failed to cross over and to live in the land.
They chose to be outside of God's promises. Oh, they would help. They would secure and fight for the land, for their brothers, the other tribes. Hey, that's a right attitude, but they wouldn't go into their inheritance. That's a wrong action. Not after all that God has done to get them there and the promises he said. This is for you. This is to bless you. It's interesting to see their end, those 2.5 tribes on the east side of Jordan. Now remember, the Jordan comes into the Galilee, and then it goes out the bottom of the Galilee. So it has an inlet and an outlet. But on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, there is that place called Gad, where the Gadareans lived. It's interesting to watch the end of what happens to those on the east side of the Jordan. It's kind of a backsliding type of a process. You know, backsliding is a very slow process. Very slow and very deceitful and very, you know, antichrist. It's a slow just getting you away from your focus. Keeping you going for the green pastures, you know, for the cattle. It's a distraction that comes into your life. And all of a sudden you find you've slidden all this way back, a slow process. You didn't see it. And what's important is not how you start this whole thing, guys. Oh, yes, it's important that you come to know the Lord and get on God's side and be on the saved side, safe side. But it's how you finish. How are you going to finish? That's what's important. How are you going to end this race that we're in? It's something we need to look at. Number one, they were first ones to be taken into captivity, and that's in 2 Chronicles 5:26. The Gadareans, the Reubenites, half of the tribe of Manasseh, taken away. Tortured, killed, and taken away out of the land. We need to take heed to what this is teaching us. If we are not going forward, if we are not getting deeper with the things of God, if we are not more involved today than we were yesterday, you're liable to get carried away and brought under bondage by your enemy. Therein it lies the lesson. It's very simple. Listen, life is too short to mess around. These guys were paganized because of their decision. And eventually they'd be pig-eyed. That's what happens. You first end up getting sucked into paganism, and then you go to pigism. You say, what? What are you talking about? Mark chapter 5, verse 1, and talks about, you can read it later in Mark 5. Jesus went over to the land of the Gadareans and on the east side of Jordan. He got out of the boat. There was a man that was demon-possessed. He was tormented day and night, demonized. His life was miserable, and everybody knew about this guy. He was out there, and they just, outside of town, he was killing himself. No one cared. He called the demons out of this man and flung them into a herd of swine or pigs. He delivered this demon-possessed man, and these pigs ran off a hillside. And what's interesting to me is, wait a minute, didn't we just talk about they raised cattle and they liked to raise? Yeah, but see, materialistically, they went downhill. They fell. That's what always happens. There's a degradation. There's a horrible thing that takes place that, you know, having come to know the Lord, you got enough of Jesus to be miserable, but not enough to be joyful, and you begin to just get back into the world, and it's a horrible, ugly scene. You do things like you never thought you'd do, and it's a horrible thing. And the enemy's, again, right on you, wanting to destroy you. Doesn't give up. But you're not obedient enough to get back and to go cross Jordan, man, and get into the place of safety. But there's enemies. You know, yeah, that's right. There's giants in the land. There's walled cities. But God says, don't worry about that. I will be with you. But they went to this illegal pig business. And some of you have gone back to that pig stuff. And you're frustrated because you don't like it. That's not where you thought God would have you or to be. And come on. He wants to deliver you. Well, they were raising pigs, and pigs drowned, and everybody came out. And, you know, when the pigs drowned, that's where they started that saying about deviled ham. That's where we got it. You've heard that one before. Jesus ended that non-kosher business immediately. And the importance of the story is that they settled for second best. But what does that cause us to do when we want our way and when we get it? It causes us to make bad decisions. Then when the people of this town came out to see where their pigs were, they were all belly up in the Galilee. They had all slit their throats with their hooves. They can't swim. Pigs just, you know, and they're dead. And they're all belly up. The town wasn't very happy. In fact, they told Jesus, "You depart out of our coast now. Get out of here, Jesus." And what's amazing to me is that this man was sitting there who was tormented and demon-possessed, and he was sitting there in his right mind smiling at the town people in his with clothes on. He never wore clothes. They could see him. They could see the change and what has happened. But that's not what's important to them. People's lives being changed by Jesus. That's not what's important to them. What's important to them is our piggies. You killed our piggies. They're belly up out there. We want you out of here. You're a danger to our business, man. You're trying to put us out of business? I mean, we were living by those pigs. Probably smelled like them too. And that they were just into the pig business. And that's all they cared about. But that's how bad it gets, guys. To compromise in our lives, we could do as they did. And they told Jesus to get out. They had now turned their Messiah away. This is their Messiah. He had come to bless them, to deliver them, starting with the demon-possessed man. But he knew he was going to go into their town and just bless them and do good and heal many. But that's not what they wanted. They turned away their Savior. So the lesson is plain. To take the easy way, to settle for second best in a relationship, because you've been together so long, you're afraid to go get anybody else. I'm just going to take this dude, man. Oh, he's not all there. But he's a good man. He works hard, brings home the bacon. He doesn't know the Lord. You know, well, we'll work that out or something will happen. I'll be a witness to him. And so you just settle for second best, and you've got to live with second best. That's not a happy picture. Or with a second best work relationship, a career, whatever. Don't do it. And to do that is to reject God's best, because God's got a best for you and I. And he set it up in the scriptures, and it's very plain. And he just wants us to, as children, enter into the blessings. Well, I don't need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What are you talking about? I ain't never heard about any kind of baptism of the Holy Spirit. What are you, weird? I mean, I taught that's weird stuff. That's Pentecostal stuff, man. I'm not going there. I don't need that, you know. It's not important. Come on. There's a lot of things in this world that are important. And I think I know that money's right up there. That's important. I'm just trying to get by and just make a buck. When God says, make a buck, I got blessings for you that are going to go way beyond buck. Bucko. No, he doesn't talk. He doesn't call us names. I want you to wake up to what you're saying is important and what God's saying is mandatory. It's a command to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And yet some of you are saying, right as I'm speaking, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know if I am. I hope I am. Some of you might be saying, I hope. Man, I don't know. I don't think I could go through life hoping in that. I need to know I am, because that assurance is there. That joy is there. You see, there's fruit in being filled with God's Spirit. And you see it in your life. And you're able to really track it. You're seeing how the flesh is dying daily. And the Spirit is living and growing stronger every day as you're feeding on the Word. The result of going second best is to be carried away into worldliness and bondage. To compromise your walk, it can harden your heart, guys. And there's the scary part. It can harden your heart towards Jesus to the point of rejecting him. And there's some that used to be, they call themselves Christians, that used to be here with us. used to worship with us, used to be studying with us, that are no longer with us. They're in the world now. And they had totally turned the Lord away. That's scary. But it's the truth. We've got to decide now to only want and to desire God's best for our lives. This is called, I want His perfect will for my life. In a relationship, in a job relationship, in what, my career, I want God's will. I won't settle for anything else. Jesus taught us that. Not my will, but thine be done. I mean, that's just a prayer away. To enter into His blessing, may God fill us full of His power to go over to possess our possessions. Not to go in, to be disobedient, is devastating. Not only to you personally, but to your family, to your friends, to those that are looking to you for answers. Because you're going to come up short because you're not seeking and thirsting and hungering after the things of God. And if you were doing that, then you're going to come up with answers and you're going to be a light in a dark place. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? Receiving power from on high to be His witnesses, to make a difference in our world. Look at verse 16. He says, "And they answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest, we will do. And whatsoever thou sendest, we'll go. According to as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken and listen unto you, Joshua. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as He was with Moses." So we're going to go, we're going to do, we're going to listen. You know what? As I was reading this, I'm going, yeah, right. Because I know the end of this story. You know what I mean? He already gave it to us, and we know that they didn't do it, and they said good things and wanted to do good things and had all the desire. But in fact, when you look at this, not only did they not follow through, but here we see this reply that's enthusiastic. It's full of devotion. It's full of cooperation. "We're going to go with you, Joshua. We're behind you all the way." And I was thinking, my gosh, it's like the parable of the sower. You know, when that guy threw the seed out, it fell on hard ground. And eventually the seed, at first it received it well. And at once, you know, some people receive the word of God and they go, oh, they get so excited. Oh, gosh, this is what I need. And they're so excited, but then they just fall away. It didn't take. It didn't happen. Something was wrong there. And that's the parable of the sower. There was no root and it burnt up and it was gone. So at first, obedient. Here they are. We will. Full of faith and hope. God be with you, Joshua. If God is with you as with Moses, then we'll follow you to wherever, man. In other words, there's no God, there's no victory. That's really what they're saying. And finally, verse 18 is interesting. "Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage." They were intolerant of sin. Joshua listens to them and they said, "Well, any rebels that go against you, Joshua, we're going to put them to death." I was thinking of Revelation when Jesus wrote His letter to the first church. 70 years it's been going on. And you'd think that the church would just be awesome and right on. But here's what Jesus says about this church. "I know your works, your labor, your patience, and how you canst not bear them which are evil." Oh man, you have tried them and you said they are our apostles and are not. And you've found them liars and have been faithful to purge those that were evil. You've borne, you have patience, and for my name's sake, you've labored. You've not fainted, you've steadied on, very active church. Nevertheless, he says, "I have somewhat against thee because you have left your first love." After 70 years, he writes this letter to the church at Ephesus. And he says, you forgot about me. You're becoming religious. And your eyes aren't on me, and you're not trusting in me, and you're doing it by your power and your might, and it's not by my spirit. Guys, hello? Some of the churches, Jesus is saying, let me in. I want to come in. I want to do a work. But you won't let me in. You've left your first love. And there's a distance there. Wow. Well, we'll put those rebels to death. The wages of sin is death. Joshua, we see here, was supported, and oh man, he was given such encouragement. Be strong and of good courage. This was confirmation, wasn't it? All the people are confirming God's promise that he shared with Joshua. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, the Old Testament says, let a matter be established. So first we hear from God through his word, and Joshua heard God tell him, be strong and of good courage. And then you begin to feel it in your own spirit. I need to be strong. I need to be of good courage. And you're talking to yourself. You're encouraging yourself in the Lord. When nobody else is saying anything to you, you're saying to yourself, you're saying, soul, what are you doing? All cast down and flipped out. Trust in God, man. He's still on the throne. Don't get bummed out. And you start talking to your soul. And that's good. David did it. We need to do it. Then someone comes up and tells you the very same thing that you were receiving from the Lord. And what is that? Confirmation. Bingo, you know? Wow, God told me, I'm feeling it, and then someone else came up to me and told me this very same thing. Man, God's moving. It's confirmed. And so I'm established as far as God's call, his direction for my life. And finally, remember this. It is his word, it is his promise and command, but it is our choice what we're going to do with what he says. It makes all the difference in the world as far as what we're going to do with our lives or how we're going to be living. But I will say this, he will be with us to encourage us and to exhort us to go his way. As he was continuing to prick many hearts that you're not living in a good place, then he was speaking to you. God's word, he brought you here to hear his word so you can be obedient. Be a good child. Listen to what he said. It's been confirmed, okay? Already you were thinking it. You already knew what you're to do, but now it just confirmed it. So may we choose wisely. His will is that you will believe on his son and experience life. That's his will for your life. And more abundantly. Know this right out of the chute. That he just wants you to turn away from that world out there, turn away from your life that's not all that great right now, and give him an opportunity to reveal himself as Lord and Savior of your life. If you will do that, he will meet you right where you're at, and he will blow your mind. You will have a sleep tonight that's going to be so sweet, you'll go, I wonder if it's going to go away tomorrow. And it's not, because the peace of God will go with you. Because you're making your peace with God. You got to do that. You got to make your peace with God. Then the peace of God will rule in your hearts and in your minds through Christ Jesus. It's awesome. But it's up to you. Let me go back to where we started. Exodus 32, it says, consecrate, Moses said, yourselves today to the Lord. It's up to you if you want to dedicate yourselves to the Lord today, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. It's up to you. I mean, you want a blessing? Dedicate, consecrate your life to the Lord. Just say, Lord, I don't know what this is all about, but I know you died for my sins, and I don't know you, and I want to know you in a personal way. And he'll come by his Spirit to live inside of you.
Pastor Jeff Johnson with encouragement to pray and give your life to the Lord. If you've not done so already, or perhaps you need to come back to the Lord, don't settle for anything less than God's best for you. And join us again next time for more sound doctrine from the book of Joshua. Remember, you can access these daily studies by visiting our website. Log on to sounddoctrineradio.org to purchase the CD. Call 800-353-7553. Again, we're here to serve you at 800-353-7553. You can also listen through the Calvary Chapel Downey app or by podcast. You know, one of the things my family loves to do is read the Christmas story aloud Christmas Day. How about you? You know, here's an idea. This year, why don't you allow Pastor Chuck Smith to do it for you? We'd love to send you a CD today that features Pastor Chuck reading the Christmas story. I know you and your family will be blessed as he does. It's called A Christmas Love. You can order it right now at sounddoctrineradio.org. Or if you would rather call, here's our number once again, 800-353-7553. Also, we'd like to remind you that your gifts help to make this program happen each and every day. So if you appreciate Sound Doctrine and you'd like to see it continue in the year ahead, you can donate safely and securely at sounddoctrineradio.org or by calling 800-353-7553. Thank you for listening to Sound Doctrine, the daily presentation of Calvary Chapel Downey, and made possible through your generous support. So far.